And welcome back, everyone, to the Ultra Car Style Podcast. This is the second episode. We're filming them back to back. I'm just going to say it. We've got some special guests here. Trace Carson, also known as Track Shark. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm real good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. Ton of people know you. They know Track Shark. They know you. You're the face of the Boise car scene, pretty much.
I don't know about that. How does that feel? I don't know about the face. there's a lot in the Boise car scene, and it's grown a lot. And it's just because I think that I've been around for more than most people. Okay. So that's kind of led on to, like, having a bigger hand in the car scene than most people. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you can keep a brand going for more than, like, a year, typically, yeah, you'll have a place in the car scene here. It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
So, and be nice to people, you know?
Yeah.
Squash the beef.
Exactly. Well, first off, just want to say thank you for being here. This is the second episode. Just really special that we're having so many people, like, instantly hop on. Like, this guy, I texted him, and I said, hey, you want to join this? He said, where? When? I'll be there.
Yeah, I think, this is the first one I've heard of in this area, right?
Yeah,
so, I've heard of, like, Rain City Supercars and other ones in bigger cities. So, this is just another sign that the Boise scene is growing, you know. Yeah, here we are.
And it's awesome to hear that. Few general questions. How did you kind of get into the car scene?
Well, that all started with my first mistake, which was buying a Focus ST.
Okay.
Back when I was like 21 or 22, and I thought it was the fastest thing on the road. I thought I was the coolest person on the road. You know, I was like, yeah, look at this Focus. And then I immediately joined some Facebook groups, and that's when it all went downhill.
Yeah.
Because I found out how not fast I was and not cool I was, and so I started dumping money into trying to get faster and buy different cars. And,
yeah,
you know, it's a love-hate relationship, as with anything else. But that kind of led into I wanted to do photography, and that kind of came with the car people I started hanging out with, and it kind of took off. And then they'd be like, hey, man, you should set up a little car meet somewhere, you know, and I'd be like, I think Dutch Bros is open on Wednesday nights. Let's hop over there, you know. Yeah. So I'd start joining some meets. You know, all the adults around us probably thought we were dealing drugs in the back lot, but I promised Mom we weren't. You know, everything was cool. So that's kind of how it got started. And I mean, it just I was fortunate to get in at the right time, where there was kind of a lull between big shows in the valley. Mm-hmm. There was kind of a golden era in the early 2010s, I think, mm-hmm. And then there was not much. And I was able to kind of hop in that void and create the first underground jump meets.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know if you remember those.
No, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
That in itself is crazy.
Yeah, so those exploded and kind of birthed Shark Fest. And,
yeah.
And we've grown, and here we are. So that's kind of how I started.
That's sweet. You kind of covered legit every single one of the questions I was going to ask. So that's awesome.
No, that's okay. We just go more in depth now.
Yeah. What do you like to do other than cars? Obviously, photography. I personally didn't know until, like, fairly recently that you did photography before the car meets.
Really?
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, the page started. I mean, my first 100 followers was, like, a photo shoot I did with a Type R and an Evo.
Really?
In a old parking lot in Caldwell, you know? I was, like, super stoked to have and it was, like, snowing and stuff. You know, I just did whatever I could to get some shots. And they weren't amazing or anything, you know. But, you know, everybody starts somewhere. Exactly. And, yeah, that was, you know, Track Shark was a photography brand far before it was a car meet brand.
Yeah, and I didn't know that until recently. But, yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up. With the underground meets, that was the first big car show I went. I brought my Civic. I was there. Not going to lie, I'm going to say this right now since you're here. I definitely did not pay to get in. I just went in. I'm going to be honest with you.
All right, so that's going to be $10 right now. Hand it over.
I know you're right now. But I remember that, and that whole thing was so surreal. There was so many cars, so many, like, vendors, booths, all that stuff. I remember I was walking up those, like, four flights. There were still cars, right? And just leaving that and seeing everybody, like, enjoy the same passion as me was crazy, because you saw all these people leaving the same time. You're cruising on the freeway with somebody you don't know. And it's super sick. Like, that was my first big one. I was like, okay, Then obviously the Dutch meets and all that stuff. Me and Simon were talking about the other, like in the last episode, we were talking about the Dutch meets. That's how both of us got started. And that's so just so crazy that there was more before me, because I feel like the Dutch meets were like the pinnacle, like the top of the meets. But from what I've been hearing, there's a lot better before.
Yeah, like I said, there was kind of a golden era in the Valley with some people that put on some big shows, and then yeah. It kind of died off. I'm not sure why. But, you know, here we are. We're back growing. There's different meets every week, it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. First specific question I definitely want to talk to you about is SharkFest 2021. Again, history. With my old brand, I bought a vendor's spot. I was with Unloved. And it was so cool because I was looking and I seen these banners and I see my logo up there. I'm like, oh, I designed that in Photoshop. And that was super cool to me. And then the car that I currently have was in Elite. And it was just so surreal to look on that. I'm not even gonna lie. I made so much money at that event. Like, so much.
And you still didn't pay me for the jump parking spot?
Nope. But it was like one of those big things where I was like, oh my, not gonna lie, off of stickers and stuff like that, I made over $1,000. And I was like, whoa, that's insane. For something where I paid X amount to get in, and it was great, right? I loved every second of that, even though it was hot, even though there were so many other things, I still loved it. And that's kind of where I started talking with you and stuff like that, and I was like, hey, this is cool. When is the next one of this, right? That was last year, yeah?
Yeah, no, that was last year. A banger year for SharkFest for sure.
Yeah, that was like crazy. And it was a great place to look back on. But we kind of talked about the photography thing. Wanted to jump back on that because I seen some of the newer stuff that you had. Like, it was so sweet, like going up to the Sun Valley thing.
Oh man.
Looking at those pictures. Sweet. Simon went to Sun Valley. Yes, he knows
it. Still here. Simon, he did his big interview and he decided to stick around. He loved the sound of his voice so much.
I'm just such a narcissist.
No, yeah, Sun Valley was a blast. It was my first time up there experiencing everything, going up to Phantom Hill, walking 2 miles to the start line, you know, trying not to get bit by ants and mosquitoes and wasps and all that stuff.
It was incredible.
It really was incredible. Yeah. And the shots we were at, man, it wasn't even like the best year for some of the cars that they've had. There weren't even any Bugattis or anything. The Pagani didn't even run, but I mean, we were able to really pull some nice shots out of that event. So I was really excited to see those come out clean.
Yeah.
And Trace, for sure. I actually kind of have a question for you.
All right, hit me.
That question. Yeah, I have it. Simon has a question. So, and I'll pop over here. Me and Trace are getting really close right now. We got to share this mic. You know, almost as close as we were in the bed in Sun Valley. I mean,
Hey, what happens in Sun Valley?
Stays in Sun Valley. Yeah, that's right. True. But yeah, actually with like the Idaho car scene like really growing with like Sun Valley Tour de Force, you know, you have Track Shark, everything, Shark Fest. I think a lot of people would really like to hear what it was like. You know, I hear these people literally that are like 40, 50 years old, you know. You're not that old, but...
Jeez, how old do you think I am, Simon?
Well, I don't know, like... We're just gonna hop over that.
I'm not aging well, you guys.
But, yeah, like, these people that talk about, like, Drift Corner back in the day, I think people would really like if you talked about that, because I know I love hearing about like old Drift Corner stories and like Drift, it just sounded like it was.
I don't know what Drift Corner
fast
is.
Fast and Furious. You don't know what Drift.
I don't know what Drift Corner is.
What?
No.
He doesn't know what Drift Corner is.
All right, so yeah. History day with Track Shark. So, Drift Corner is. I can't tell you where it is, but I'll show you on a map. Here we go.
It's out by Micron.
Just so everybody else can see. Here we go. Up on a map. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, that's where it is. So, basically, it's a really nice, wide. It's like 5 or 6 lanes wide out in the middle of nowhere, like way overbuilt. But now they built a gas station out there, which I think was the plan like 20 years ago when they built that street. And then it just didn't happen until the last few years.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how good it would be for actually going out there anymore.
There's no gas station out there.
Yeah, there is.
Where?
Right over the overpass on the other side.
No, there's not.
I swear to now I actually, now I actually have to look this up and show that.
I was just out there doing the speed limit.
The speed limit.
The speed limit. No, look. Uh-huh. So that's Drift Corner.
Okay.
You cross the overpass, and that Sinclair exists now.
No way.
Yeah, it's there, dude.
Okay, I'm going to go out there and do the speed limit.
Don't tell anyone, but that's where I took my Mustang the fastest that's ever been.
You mean really? The speed limit?
Yeah, like 65, 70.
Yeah.
Was really? That stretch crazy. Between?
I think that's the speed. Yeah.
So anyways, Drift Corner.
Wait, hold
people
on,
was
that like 45 out there?
Yeah, I mean, on the freeway.
It might have been. I feel like I was there when you did that with your Mustang. You know, I think I saw 45 on the dash, so.
Maybe 50.
Okay. Responsible amounts.
So. Yeah,
Drift Corner, very wide. People would line their cars up on either side, and there were some little alcoves outside of the road and stuff, and literally they would just take turns bombing up and down the overpass and throwing their car sideways as hard as they could. People were catching on fire, ripping their wheels off on curbs. I mean, almost every weekend until the cops would come and shut it down. Like, it was just a thing every single weekend.
I heard about one night where cops pulled up. People literally drove through the fields out there. Is that a thing?
No, yeah, that's the same's happened with Black's Creek, actually. Black's Creek, we've had some sketchy moments, too. There was, oh, man, how much can I even say here?
Whatever.
There was one night we were out there doing the speed limit again, and I had to go get gas. I literally had 5 miles of range left, and I was like scared I wasn't going to make it back to Boise.
This is Black's Creek, Mexico, right?
Yes.
Not Idaho.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
right.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yep.
So, luckily, there was a Sinclair down in Mexico that I was able to make it to. But I get a call from my buddy who was still there, and he said that police had converged from both sides of the street. And they were, like, waiting and planning this thing to get in and get everybody. And everybody got tickets. The spectators, the drivers, everyone.
Ooh, a sting operation.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So,
dang.
A couple of people tried to drive through fields, and it didn't work out so well for them.
Dang. I did not know that stuff happened in Idaho. Oh, Boise. I know it happened, but.
In Idaho. Not
Idaho.
Boise.
Idaho, Mexico.
Mexico is different than Boise. So.
Well, no, it's a substation in Mexico, Idaho.
Oh my goodness.
It's a U.S. Army base. Well, thank you for telling me that story. That was really sweet. Kind of jumping back. Working with John Odom. That's a huge thing. John Odom is awesome. I met, like, not going to lie. And I'll talk to him. I'll tell him to his face, you know. I did not think highly of him when I first met him. As many people do, which I don't understand why now that I met him and talked to him. Very nice guy. Like, very nice guy. I like him now. He's a very nice guy. I can't stress that enough. We did a bit on my car, and I think that, like, blew up or something.
Yeah. When we, like, put the monster can in there and stuff. Yeah, I remember that.
He stood in my barrel, and I was like, I'm gonna send an invoice to you later. But a bunch of people were like, dude, you said that to John Odom? I'm like, yeah, I did. What? Like, what's the problem?
He loves the jokes. He'll play all day long online, you know? Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of people get butthurt is because they take it seriously.
Exactly.
You know?
And people need to stop taking things seriously. Just in general. Life advice.
Life advice. Oh, man.
How was that, though? How was working with him and traveling with him?
I mean, really, really good. I mean, it's... I don't know if you knew this, but I was a journeyman electrician for five or 6 years.
Nice.
But obviously my passion was not in electrical.
Yeah.
So it helped me, you know, buy a house, buy some cars, and build up a nice savings. It got me where I was in life before John actually hired me and kind of allowed me to start doing my dream job, which was more, you know, white collar instead of blue collar work.
Yeah.
And then, we'd known him for 3 or 4 years, my wife and I, Kenzie, you guys all know Kenzie, you know, other half of Track Shark. she couldn't be here today, sadly, but you know, everybody knows her when we're walking her up. So we knew him since, like, the old Cruise Ontario days, actually.
Really?
That was the first time I rode in his red GTR before it became the TX2K winning GTR. Like, it was still street legal and everything. It was, like, 700 horsepower, and he took me for a ride, and we were both just nutting. We thought it was the fastest thing. He thought it was the fastest thing.
Yeah.
And we look back on that now, and we're like, man, how far things have come.
Yeah, right.
But working for him, I mean, as you said, there's definitely some stigma surrounding John Odom.
For no reason.
Yeah, and it at first, you know, there was a little bit of judgment from people. People mm-hmm. thought it was a little like, "Oh, you're a sellout. You know, why are you working for John? You know, all this stuff." And the rumors fly, and luckily, Kenzie and I could just let it roll off our backs and deal with it. But now, a year and a half later, people are seeing the things we're doing, and the brands we're creating, and kind of the dent we're making in the car scene all over the country, not just Idaho anymore.
Yeah.
And being on the Street Outlaws TV show, you know, and they're just like, okay.
On Discovery Channel, right, this, like national television.
Yeah, I guess John's not so bad. I guess working for him wasn't the worst idea. Yeah. So it's opened up so many opportunities. Yeah. I've met so many cool people. Simon wasn't one of them. I just met him on my own.
Dude, you're not... You're, like, literally not a fucking nice guy. Like, nobody likes you.
All right, so I take back what I said about squashing the beef.
Squashing the beef.
Squashing the beef.
Track Shark and So Sharp pull the beef.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Like, just talking about working with John Odom, it's crazy, right? You see him, like most people... I was telling my dad, I was like, yeah, this guy. He's like, yeah, John Odom. I'm like, yeah, you know him? He's like, yeah, I watch him on TV all the time. I'm like, huh? You see him on, you know him? I'm like, yeah, I know him. I know him. He studded my lip. He's like, oh, okay. You know, that's pretty cool. And so it's cool. Like, just thinking about that stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, really exciting. Really fun stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of this map, I know people can't really see this, but there's a map behind me.
Watch the first episode, maybe. Maybe it's in there.
Maybe it's in
my
there.
Episode.
I think this one's your episode now, too.
Yeah, it's a joint episode. Cross, all of the episodes.
Crossover.
Crossover. Huge thing, right? Bunch of people are butthurt for no reason anymore. Shark Fest in Utah this year.
Ooh.
Let's
that's
talk
a touchy
about that.
Subject.
That's like
that's
a bunch,
exactly
a bunch
the words
of people
I was
going to
use. Yeah. So, I tell everybody that asks this, but I was DMing and emailing and calling and texting venues since October of 21,
dang,
trying to get
right
venues, and they just slowly started, like, either turning me away because of the size of the car show, and they mm-hmm. I think it scared them a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Which is understandable. I mean, there's a lot of risk that can come with a car show. A lot
mainly
of
mainly
G35. Yeah. Yeah, mainly. It just got to the point that I was like, man, we have no luck. So my final straw, and I don't want to talk bad about Firebird. Everybody loves Firebird. It's the one drag strip we have out here, our only racing venue, you know, aside from Meridian Speedway. And they had a Grudge Drags on August 20th, which is when I wanted to have Shark Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, let's just, you know, not get rid of the Grudge Drags, but let's add Shark Fest on top. Like, let's blow this thing up for you guys that weekend. And I waited like 3 weeks for their response. You know, they were taking their time. So I was like, this is either really good or really bad. And they finally get back to me and they say, hey, man, we don't want to change our schedule. You know, it's set and we're old school and we don't want to mess up what our fans already know. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, you know, that's your choice.
Yeah.
So
that was the same kind of thing with like IFO. Like I went to IFO this year and IFO, just in general, I love that car show, but it's so long, man. It's like you get there and pull up at like 10, and you're not leaving till about 7. That's crazy for a car show nowadays.
And like, can you tell everybody what IFO is?
Import face off.
There you go.
I gotta clarify that. Yeah. It's like so long.
Yeah, that's part of what I like about Shark Fest is it's kind of a shotgun event, you know, unless you're like this year we're going to be racing, so there will people... There will be people showing up at like 9 in the morning, but that's just to get their cars teched and get on track by 11 because there's going to be 8 run groups getting 15 minutes apiece 4 times throughout the day.
Exactly.
So
you've got events going all day.
But the spectators, they don't come until 4 p.m.
Jeez, that's
4 p.m. And they don't, the awards are at 8 or 9 p.m.
Yeah, four
so,
hours, that's fine.
Yeah, all they got to do is come in, get some food, look at everything, and by that time it's time for the DJ concert and some awards, and then boom.
Boom. Yeah, just like going back on the Utah thing, I went this year, for the first time I went to Scrape Fest. That was crazy. I was talking with the guy that runs it, Scrape Fest, and he was like...
Joe's awesome.
Yeah, very nice guy. we were talking about it, and he's been blowing up my phone. No, I shouldn't say that. he's been texting me about coming back for their season closer. And I was like, I couldn't make it off. I can't do it. Sorry. But just there for my first time, we even sparked up a conversation about Shark Fest, right? Just like,
I didn't realize that. That's cool, man.
Yeah, we were talking. He's like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Boise. He's like, oh yeah, you know, you guys have Shark Fest out there. How was that? I'm like, it was really good last time. It was really good. And so it's really cool to see and hear that, like, people know about that. And talking with him and seeing kind of the aspects of everything, there was so many people at that Scrape Fest event this year, like crazy amounts of people. There was people hopping fences to get in early. It's crazy. There's people like banging at the doors. So I'm sitting there in the convention center, in the Farmington, you know, convention center. I've got my car there. I'm detailing it, and I just hear, you know, I'm like, what is going on? The police here. And I look outside, and there's just lines of people. I'm like, dude, really? This is crazy. And so that was a good event. I didn't win anything that year, but next year.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's, but, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know. Shark Fest this year is just going to be great in general. I'm really excited. I don't know if I'll be able to make my car down there, but I'll definitely be there.
Hey, that's what we like to hear. You know, like,
definitely be down there.
We understand.
I really want to see what happens, right? I really want to see what's going on with everything. I want to see the races. I want to do that. And I'm really interested to see how it goes this year, because there was, like, some of the people that I talked to, 100%, yeah, I'll make the drive to Utah, whatever, you know, I'll take my car, sure. Another, you know, 25% of the people, yeah, I'll go, I'm not going to take my car, though. And then people are like, no, Shark Fest should be only in Idaho, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you don't know from the business aspect. You've got to, like, you've got to understand where he's coming from. It's a business. It's not just your Milwaukee Dutch meet where you just ask for... You ask for forgiveness, not permission, right? Like, you can't.
Who would do that?
You know, you can't have a Boise PD come down and be, oh yeah, I'm done. You know,
Just, okay. No,
events, everyone go home. No,
yeah, they take a substantial amount of effort and time and work. I mean, I have trouble sleeping at night over Shark Fest. You know, it's a big deal trying to organize it all.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll give you a podcast exclusive. I don't say this stuff anywhere publicly.
Okay.
You know, because people start doing math in their heads and some of them get mad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this show is going to cost me between $40,000 and $50,000 to put on.
That's crazy.
So, people, you know, they complain about the prices or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, bro, like, I'm doing my best here.
Yeah.
Like, the insurance alone is going to be between $10,000 and $15,000.
And that's crazy.
Because,
dude,
of the racing.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember talking to you about this, like, last year, about, like, the cost of Shark Fest, because that, you know, numbers interest me. And so, the thing was, is, like, I mean, you, at the end of the day, Trace does have to make some kind of profit, and it's honestly not a lot. Trace does not make a lot of money off Shark Fest. I'll tell you that right now. I know what he made last year, and I can tell you right now that he does this because it's what he, like, loves to do.
And that's so sweet.
So respectable.
Yeah.
And that's, like... Not a lot of people are here to do that.
Yeah.
They're going to, you know, I can tell you right now, if I was doing car meets, I'd be like, all right, gas station, $100 to enter. We've got supercars here.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to pay to come see them. And Trace isn't like that. Trace isn't as much of a scumbag as I am. So.
Jeez, you're starting young. Starting the scumbaggery really young.
Well, that's finance, so.
That's fine.
I do appreciate you just talking about everything. Real quick here, did want to say one final thing. We're doing a Shark Fest ticket giveaway, okay? That's what we're doing. We're doing that.
Somebody get the air horns.
Yeah. I'll put it in a bowl. We're doing a Shark Fest ticket giveaway. I'm not sure which one it will be yet, but it will be a ticket. We'll figure it out. Just want to tell you that it will be there, and we're gonna do this. Just share this and follow. We'll get you a Shark Fest ticket.
Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about, guys. It's only a few weeks away, so
exactly.
Let's nail down what ticket you want to do,
exactly.
And let's get somebody to Shark Fest, because we also have our own giveaway. With the Daddy Shark experience being one of the tickets.
I really wish we could talk about that, but that's a whole podcast.
I know it is. So if you want to hear about that some more,
quick mention, what's in the Daddy Shark?
Tell us.
Crazy. Okay.
Just really fast.
So if you live in Boise, this is like kind of my tip of the hat to the Boise people, because I feel bad that I had to move the show this year. I really want to bring it back next year, by the way. But one lucky person, or if you have $3,000, one lucky person is going to win a private jet flight from Boise to Tooele Airport, which is 5 minutes from the track. That morning, they fly in, boom, you're there, you're in it, you're getting ride-alongs in the drifting, in the racing, you got free food all day, you're hanging out in all the VIP areas with all the drivers and all the sponsors, right? It's going to be sick. And then on top of that, you're back the same day. At about 9 o'clock, when the awards are over, we'll take you back to the private jet and you'll fly home. Don't have to get a hotel, don't have to drive a car, nothing.
Yeah, and there's probably champagne and wine and cheese on the plane. And
yeah, a little charcuterie board.
That's great.
Charcuterie.
No, charcuterie board.
Charcuterie.
Charcuterie.
For Shark Fest.
It's gonna have the little gummy sharks.
I think we scared Simon.
The culture in Idaho is appalling.
Oh my goodness. Well, again, I just wanted to say thank you for being up on this podcast. It's pretty sweet. Again, these are only 30 minutes in length, because I don't have the attention span for an hour, and I know most people don't either. Even anymore. So
whether you have ADHD or you don't,
that's the truth.
Unless I'm like driving in a car.
A little over, a little under, whatever. It works. We talked about some awesome stuff here. Where can the people? Obviously, most people know, but where can they follow you?
All right, so Facebook, it's just going to be Track Shark. Okay. It's that easy. Online, TrackSharkEvents.com.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram is going to be Track Shark LLC or Shark Fest Car Show. Those are going to be both of our pages.
Sweet. Well, again, thank you so much. Giveaway details will be in the description. We're gonna figure that out before this episode releases. So appreciate everybody listening to this. I'm really excited. This is our second episode. First one was Simon. This is like the 1.5, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, what? Episode 1.5 with Simon.
I was still 1.5 here.
With Simon. He's still here.
I chimed in.
Who's your third interview today? Do we get a sneak peek?
He's in the parking lot right now, so they'll know.
Let's bring him in and do a really messy three-way podcast.
I don't know if he'd like that.
I'm just kidding.
Let's find out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. You can follow me at Carson Blackjack or Ultra Car Style. I really appreciate everybody just joining me and listening to what I have to say. You know, an 18-year-old car enthusiast. But appreciate everyone listening. That's going to be it. Have a good one. Good night.